I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
This is the one station everybody at work can agree on. Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
IndyCar is coming to Texas, and the Arrow McLaren IndyCar team is starting the party with a free fan fest Wednesday, March 11th from 4 until 8 at Texas Live in Arlington. One lucky listener will win a VIP experience to the Arrow McLaren Arlington Fan Fest presented by Mission Foods and get backstage access for a private meet and greet with drivers Pato O'Ward, Nolan Siegel, and Christian Lundgaard. For your chance to win, text Indy to 22126.
Thank you very much, Mr. DJ. It is Friday fun time. Spend a little time here talking about something that we all gave ourselves a homework assignment on, because on Monday, I do believe, maybe it was Tuesday, we were discussing something.
What did bring the sun?
In the world of probably Burt Reynolds.
Do you remember him?
Or cars or CBs or something. And it kind of...
Oh. Coors beer.
That's right. It was Coors beer.
Now, why'd we bring that up?
Because my dad and my friend's dads were obsessed with drinking Coors because they felt like that they were cheating the world because
they were bootlegging.
Yeah, it was a Colorado beer, obviously, and you couldn't even get it east of Texas. I'm not sure you could get it.
Yeah, it probably took a while to get to Texas, and then for some reason, you couldn't ship it east of Texas, because that's the premise of the movie.
Now, yes. Is this a state's rights thing? That we want the right to have Coors in our state?
I mean, it
makes no sense, does it?
It's the dumbest thing. I have no idea what was going on.
We have to get to Texarkana, where they have Coors, and then run it back to Atlanta without Smokey getting in.
Right. It's so dumb.
Sniffing out the fact that we're transporting Coors over state lines.
And I can promise you it didn't make sense to me at all when I saw this in the theater as a kid. But we're speaking of the 1977 classic, Smokey and the Bandit.
That, as we learned the other day, came out on the exact same day as Star Wars.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And, I know. And it still holds a very special place in my heart, this Smokey and the Bandit. But Bob had never seen it. In his lifetime, you'd never seen it. And I honestly, like, the fact that you were such a Dukes of Hazzard P1 as a kid.
Yeah.
That this didn't somehow cross over into your orbit.
Because clearly.
Oh, my God.
Clearly, I'm into cars jumping riverbeds, cops all running into each other and trashing their cars.
Bungling cops. I mean,
bungling,
like,
cops.
The dumbest cops of all time.
Absolutely.
All of them. And yes, Dukes of Hazzard does not exist without Smokey and the Bandit.
You will not convince me ever again that that wasn't the source material for all of Dukes of Hazzard.
And dude, so I wouldn't. I've probably seen Smokey and the Bandit 20 times in my lifetime, but I hadn't seen it in a handful of years. I think we watched it with the kids, you know, when they were smaller. But I pick up on things, and one thing that I didn't really realize, and maybe it's because we were talking about the Dukes of Hazzard and how similar they are, I didn't really realize that the Trans Am had a nice Stars and Bars license plate.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it wasn't as front and center as...
It took about 1 minute into the movie, too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I...
And then Dukes of Hazzard's like, you know what, let's make the entire car Stars and Bars.
I was questioning, as I was watching it today, okay, how did he get a custom license plate that fast when he just got the car?
Can't ask questions like that, Dave.
When he just got the car from Big Enos.
I would say, yeah, good point. I was going to say he's always been the Bandit, which...
We're not even sure what the Bandit does for a living.
Well,
all he does is show off.
Lays on a hammock at car shows, I believe.
He's somehow a celebrity.
He's a celebrity at rodeos.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
where they're drag racing big rig trucks.
Was he a former NASCAR driver? They never really explain anything in this. And for those who...
Is there a prequel that tells us the story of...
There's not.
Bo the Bandit?
Hell, but I'd watch some sort of retro prequel on that now where they try to shoehorn another Bandit movie in there. But yeah, the premise of this movie, so it's Burt Reynolds and Jerry Reed. Now, How familiar are you with Jerry Reed?
Enough to recognize the music, not enough to know he was the other truck driver, and or he was the truck driver until basically I think I figured it out because I watched an hour and then did the show and then did the second half hour, and that's maybe I looked at Wikipedia and Jerry Reed just didn't do the music. He's actually Snowman.
Yeah, that's Jerry, and that's Gordon's hero because of the way that Jerry Reed finger picks guitar. And Jerry Reed's actually a really good actor. Like, he's hilarious in this movie. He was, of course, the coach in The Waterboy, the Adam Sandler movie for those of a later generation that you remember that guy. So that's, yeah. So the premise of this movie is absolutely ridiculous. There are two.
And there's like two different Boss Hogg characters, because I thought Big Enos, so I'm like, oh, this is the Boss Hogg character. No, then Sheriff Justice is the Boss Hogg character.
There are these two rich guys that turn out to be father and son from the South. They're dressed like Colonel Sanders, basically.
Yeah, powder blue tuxedos.
Right.
It's Western tuxedos.
One is 6'5", and the other one is 5 foot even. And...
What does Bert say to him when they come up to him on his hammock?
Wearing the same, he says to the bigger one, he was like, what'd they fit you in, a 38 fat? Then he looks at the other one, he's like, how about you, 24 dwarf? So these two guys somehow have the money to get these truck drivers to try to pull some famous beer stunt where you go and you get 400 cases of Coors, put it in your big rig.
You go to Texarkana.
Go to Texarkana, get it, which is right at the edge, the only place, the furthest point west you can get it. And then you turn around and come back in 28 hours.
Yeah, you got to drive 1,800 miles round trip in 23 hours?
Yeah, 23,
or 28 hours?
Yeah, 28, something like that.
And so we're going to do what they say can't be done.
Yeah, so you basically have to average 70 miles an hour.
Right.
With no stops.
Because the
boys. Straight driving.
The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
Indeed. Yep. And so, as silly as this was at the peak of Burt Reynolds' career. I mean, Burt was it.
Mm. Was Sally Field already?
Yeah, because Sally had done, Sally had a number one hit TV show, Flying Nun, Gidget. She was in movies left and right, and I think she was
Gidget was 1965.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess she had already done that.
Gidget, not the other word, Jerry. But yeah, she was already a superstar, and her and Burt were dating.
Really?
I don't know if it was right at that same time, but they definitely had a romance before Burt got into Lonnie Anderson, as it were. But, yeah, and so all these people were friends. The director, Hal Needham, this is a great story because Hal Needham was a really famous stuntman in Hollywood at the time. And he and Burt were good friends. And Hal had written the script for Smokey and the Bandit and given it to Burt. And Burt hung on to it until it was time he had a break to make the movie and was like, why don't you direct this? You've been in 100 movies before as a stuntman. You know exactly what it's like to direct a movie. And he gave it to his buddy. And so then Hal Needham, the director, goes on and does all these Burt Reynolds movies, Hooper, Smokey and the Bandit 2, Cannonball Run, Stroker Ace, Cannonball Run 2, all Burt Reynolds. And they were all success, like really big time successful movies. And you may know if you saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Tarantino movie, the relationship between Leonardo DiCaprio's character and Brad Pitt's character who played his stuntman, that's based on Burt Reynolds and Hal Needham, where you had best friends that were superstar actor and stuntman.
Wow.
So that was a spinoff of all that.
And did you see his, after he gave up directing, after he was away from Hollywood, that his obsession was breaking the sound barrier on land?
Yeah.
He had the Budweiser rocket car, Hal Needham did.
Yeah.
Really?
And he had his toes in a NASCAR car too that was successful. Like, this guy was a rags to riches story, the director was. So they make the movie, and then they're trying to figure out who to cast as the bumbling sheriff from Texarkana. And And I don't know how they decided on Jackie Gleason or how far down the
list. Or how they got him.
How they got Jackie Gleason to do this. For those who don't know, Jackie Gleason was part of basically the invention of television. It was one of the first shows ever on TV, The Honeymooners. And he was in his 30s at the time. And so fast forward 30, 40 years or whatever it was, and I had no idea who he was, obviously, when I saw this as a kid, but I thought that as a kid, that they got a real sheriff from Texas to play this part. Because he's absolutely he's the movie.
Yes. If you take him out of the movie, if that's any other actor, the movie is half as good, if that.
Yeah. And so, as ridiculous as the premise is, and you can tell that a lot of the lines are ad-libbed, it's really well done for what it is. Did you agree? I mean, the first time seeing it.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
I can't tell if I had a great time because it was so ridiculously. Well, yeah, of course I did. It was not a waste of 90 minutes. I found it delightful and I would say that's I don't want to say good.
It's just fun.
It's a fun movie.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I guess you could say it adds to the charm, but the only thing that kind of got under my skin was all of the extras, you know, and the low-level parts, because, like, all the truckers and the locals.
Terrible.
They're
actors.
All such terrible actors.
They really are locals.
Yeah.
All of them are. He just basically plucked people off the street, off the side of the road, whether it was in small-town Mississippi, small-town Alabama, all throughout the South. These were real people that didn't know what they were doing,
like that,
and they were terrible.
But in the convoy, that trucker, little beaver here giving you the 10-1, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay, so the CB culture. Lando, what did you think? You hadn't seen it before.
I enjoyed it. I'm with Bob. I will say, it is a cartoon.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, were you guys aware, especially you guys in there, I know, Ham, you've seen it a bunch, were you aware of the CB culture of the time? And how insane it took over America for about a five-year period?
I say we bring it back. What's holding us? What's holding us back?
I don't know. Phones, maybe, but this is way cooler.
Way cooler.
This is infinitely cooler. Okay, we need to play some audio from
and carry this over.
We are, Danny. We are from Buford T. Justice. Another segment of Smokey and the Bandit talk next.
The ticket.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this, but I'm gonna get you high today because it's Friday. You ain't got no job and you ain't got shit to do.
That sounds like the opening horn blast to the Olympics.
During your lunchtime with the Invasion, Donovan Lewis and Matt McLaren. Every day from 9 till 1 on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
All right. We all watched Smokey and the Bandit. Bob did for the very first time. Somehow, it avoided his orbit for all these years. Burt Reynolds, Jackie Gleason, Jerry Reed, Sally Field. It had an all-star cast, and apparently Jackie Gleason got cast as Buford T. Justice because Burt was a huge fan, which I imagine all those younger actors were at the time of him, because he was such a trailblazer and convinced him to play this part as this ridiculous Texas cop that was obsessed with catching Burt Reynolds' character, the Bandit.
Right, and if you haven't seen the movie, the reason that he becomes obsessed is not just because of the Coors, but because his dumbass son is the one who gets left at the altar by Sally Field. She's a runaway bride that Bandit picks up on the side of the road.
Frog.
Okay. Do you guys, so when I see this relationship, this is what Gordon portrays the Jones sons as being.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
And this son of Jackie Gleason, Jackie Gleason in the movie was 61 years old. So he's 5 years older than I am right now. And he looked like he was 75.
Of course.
There's no doubt, as they all did back then. But his son is such a moron and such a simpleton and so perfect for what they were trying to portray.
Daddy, can
and
I watch the football
game? Daddy, Daddy. Yes.
And I'm convinced that's, watching that again, that's what Gordon is doing. He's making Steven and Jerry Jr. into this.
I think the best part of his role is that after the top of the cop car was cut off in one of the many police
chases.
And
he's holding the door?
Is that his job then for the rest of the movie is just making sure Sheriff Buford T. Justice's hat does not blow off in the wind. So yeah. He's just holding.
As they're going 90 miles an hour down the road.
He's just holding his hat on his head, which is absurdly ridiculous.
Okay, so we said that he makes the movie. I mean, I'm surprised. Maybe I'm missing something. Jackie Gleason is so good in this movie, and it's so over the top that it's almost Oscar worthy. And I'm not even joking. He's amazing in this movie.
It's perfect.
Amazingly, hilariously over the top. And the first time that they actually meet each other, because this is all done, they're talking through CBs. Nobody knows what anybody looks like when you're on the other end of a CB. And so Bandit, Burt Reynolds, stops off at this truck stop and is told to go in and get a hamburger for Jerry Reed's dog because his dog is hungry.
Fred,
the great Fred.
Great dog.
Giant basset hound.
And by the way.
Great dog, but also Dukes Hazzard stole that because that was
Flash.
Roscoe Pico Train's dog.
What
Flash.
A flat out ripoff, man.
Yeah.
And that put up, that was a, there are articles out there about how the basset hound became the dog in America after this. Everybody wanted one because he was so cute and just like a big old tub of goo
right. Just
sitting in the truck. So he goes into the truck stop, and here comes Buford Justice's character, Jackie Gleason. Burt Reynolds knows what he looks like, but he has no idea what Burt looks like. And so they meet at the counter, and I don't know how many times they shot this scene, because Jackie Gleason is eating a barbecue sandwich, a Diablo sandwich, and spitting all over Bert as he talks because they're face-to-face. And it's so funny watching Bert just kind of pick beef off his face as he's yelling at him. But it couldn't have been more than a couple of takes because he couldn't have kept eating the sandwich.
How much owe you, ma'am?
$1.50.
There you are. Keep change.
Just keep your eye out for that Michelle Bender
fan. Let me have a Diablo sandwich, a Dr. Pepper. Make it fast. I'm going to... Damn hurry. You want something?
Hush puppies, Daddy.
You got no
hush puppies, Daddy.
Diablo and Doc.
Stacking my sleep.
You must be in a hell of a hurry, huh, Sheriff?
Bet your ass on that boy.
Oh, you got a little mess there. Let me help you out here. Get that off of there. That's a way for an officer.
Much obliged.
Who are you chasing? Somebody chasing you?
Nobody's chasing me, boy. I've been chasing a damn maniac all the way from Texarkana, Texas.
Really? Was he a bank robber?
Bank robbing is baby alongside of what this dude is doing. Huh? Almost killed 20 law officers. Driving through people's backyards, knocking down mailboxes. Got a broad in the car. Across the state line, got the man out. I don't think he's got a permission, and that's getting him. How's that for hijinks? What a...
Oh, let me pay for it.
No.
No, you're an officer of the law. I'd be honored.
Much obliged. Where's the can? I got to take a squirt. I'll right back there.
Where's the can? I got to take a squirt. So ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
So, and again, a lot of his lines were ad-libbed. And it's just, and 100% the cuss words that he came up with, because he's comboing and making up cuss words the entire movie that make no sense. I've never even heard him before. All of that improv. So, there's a scene where they're on the side of the road, and the sheriff's car's cut in half and all that. And this guy... It's an incredibly racist movie, you know, at times. And there's a guy driving past, and everybody knows the Bandit. Everybody in the world, or I guess in the South, knows the Bandit.
Yeah.
And they know what's going on, too. And so they're against the sheriff. And so this guy driving like a tow truck is driving past him. And he sees that the sheriff's car door is wide open. And so he's going to knock the car door off to even make it more cumbersome for them to drive the car to get away. So they're on the side of the road as this guy's driving. It's an Asian guy. So listen to what the Asian guy says, and
no
then
disrespect.
And that's right before he hits it. Like, what, any word he could come up with, what's the one word he uses? And then it's the hilarity of the son, father son cop relationship.
Bonsai!
Bonsai! I saw that, you son bitch! You did that on purpose! You're gonna wait in your grave! I got the evidence! Put the evidence in the car! I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses! Put the evidence in the back.
The car door.
There's no way that you could come from my loins. Soon as I get home, the first thing I'm gonna do is punch your mama in the mouth.
Number one.
So that's definitely Boss Hogg and Roscoe again.
Yes.
Even though they weren't technically father and son. And then the other thing that had Dukes of Hazzard DNA all over it was how many times during this movie, during some chase scene, which is essentially the entire movie, is there somebody fishing on a pier?
Oh my God.
Somebody standing next to a produce cart, but they set up these crashes to a point where somebody is minding their own business, taking in their afternoon, and then they see something, they get out of the way, and whatever is behind him is about to get leveled by another cop car.
Yeah.
And the way to end the scene, which again is consistent in all of these pieces of art, is that then you see the policeman safely exit the vehicle to let you know everybody's okay.
He didn't
okay.
die, yeah. Yeah. In the pond.
They just trashed the car.
Yes, we destroyed 43 cop cars in making this, but no cops were harmed.
So,
Speaking of racism and speaking of police chases, when they go over the creek bed, when they jump the bridge that's out, the bandit makes it, but of course the cops don't.
Yes.
And the mayor's son is driving the second cop car, and he's teetering over the edge, and he's like, see, I didn't wreck it. And then Buford T. Justice comes in and knocks him all the way off. And then the racist part where he's like, where's the sheriff that I was talking to on the radio? And the sheriff is a black guy.
He's black.
And he's like, I'm right here. I'm the one who was talking to you. And he's like, oh, you sounded taller on the radio.
Yeah. Then he looks at his kid. He goes,
what is the world coming to?
What is this world coming to?
A black sheriff.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a lot of priceless moments. And so this is kind of the best of montage outside of what we played from Jackie Gleason.
She insulted my body.
Yeah.
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism. Happens every time one of those dancers start poontanging around with those show folk. And I wish she was dancing back up the aisle. Knockers bouncing all over the junk. Let's go that way. Boy, ass was wiggling too. Nobody makes Sheriff Buford T. Justice look like a possum's becker.
Except for that.
Your ass. What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law. I'm in a high-speed pursuit. Don't you hear good?
I hear perfectly. The fact that you are a sheriff is not germane to the situation.
The damn Germans got nothing to do with it.
What do you say?
Got a bunch of at a guy.
All right.
Set up a roadblock. Good idea.
What the hell you know?
So ridiculous.
Yeah,
dude.
I feel like I was missing something in life having not seen this, and now.
Well, you also,
life is more complete.
Yeah, and you also missed out on, it's the first movie that had all of these types of car chases, and Hal Needham, the director, came up with all these different shots. Like, he was the first one to have cameras set up in certain places within cars, and like, they broke a lot of ground for, as ridiculous as a movie it was. There's a lot of movies, like The Blues Brothers was made a couple of years after that, and they cribbed everything off of Smokey and the Bandit by way of the car chases and things like that. It was trend-setting, but I find it hilarious that the director, the only movies he ever directed were insane Burt Reynolds comedies, most of which involve cars.
Yeah, I'm guessing it paid extremely well.
Oh, they made a fortune.
Did have a question.
Yes.
Was it a 70s thing for movies to have songs where the song just spelled out the entire plot of the movie?
That is a great question.
Yeah.
And I would say that this one is an extreme example of that.
But it was like a 70s and 80s thing where the studio or the director would commission the theme song.
Yes.
And they would give plot notes. And so, yes, they would incorporate the plot into the theme song.
No doubt.
And then once you got like into the 90s, then it would be, well, let's just grab a hit song.
Yeah.
And put it on our soundtrack.
It became really cliche, like too much so.
Yeah, I have a question as well for taking questions.
Go on.
Did you know Joe Klecko is in this movie as trucker number two?
So Joe Klecko has a major part in Cannonball Run, and so does Terry Bradshaw.
Okay, I didn't know Joe Klecko had some acting.
Yeah,
Klecko, as limited as it may be.
Yeah, Klecko. He and Terry Bradshaw are both big parts in this.
His trucking. Okay, hold on here. The young Klecko converted a 55 Chevy into a dragster and had a job driving dump trucks and oversized tractor trailer rigs like in real life. Even during the off season, he was wrestling the 18 wheelers.
And Joe Klecko, by the way, an all pro defensive tackle for the Jets. Right?
That's right. Yeah. He was in the New York Sack Exchange. His trucking job earned him cameo roles as a trucker or strongman in four Burt Reynolds films.
There you go.
Smokey and the Bandit, Smokey and the Bandit 2, Cannonball Run, and Heat. What?
Not that Heat. I think there was a Burt Reynolds Heat that didn't do as well.
Okay,
as
you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yes. Well, there you go. Smokey and the Bandit, a fun time car romp.
That was fun.
It was. It's so ridiculous.